Before you'd ever heard of her, Glenn Close was an accomplished stage actress. After her early films, like The World According to Garp and The Big Chill, made her a movie star, she rarely made stage appearances, although when she did, it was a big deal, such as her Tony Award-winning performance as Norma Desmond in Sunset Boulevard.
The cardboard trees, the painted seas, the sound here. Yes, a world to rediscover, but I'm not in any hurry.
Now, after more than a decade, she is back on Broadway, starring in Edward Albee's A Delicate Balance. And I am very pleased to welcome her for the first time to Studio 360.
Thank you very much.
As an actor, are there particular challenges in doing an Edward Albee play?
Oh, my gosh. It's the hardest dialogue that I've ever tried to learn.
Uh-huh.
Because it was so complex and so unlike the way I talk naturally that...
Or anybody, really.
Anybody. So, yeah. And I've learned that you just have to give your brain time to create the new pathways in order to remember that.
Because it goes, sometimes it sounds almost 19th century in its stylization, and then it becomes colloquial and normal and contemporary.
Especially Agnes has a very formal way of talking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which certainly gets across her sense of formality that is dissolving and crumbling around her.
Trying to maintain order of some sort, even in her language.
In creating this performance, were you conscious of, I need to show all her sides. I don't want her to seem like this horrible bitch.
Yes, very much so. I did not want her to seem like a horrible bitch. I think on the page she could come off as a horrible bitch. But she's also been a woman who hasn't had any physical love for years. You know, she's not fulfilled in that way at all. She's very needy in that way, but she covers it up and she takes care of the family. But underneath, that's probably the deepest wound for her.
I want to play a clip from the show where Agnes is talking with Tobias, played by John Lithgow.
As the saying has it, the one thing sharper than a serpent's tooth is a sister's ingratitude.
The saying does not have it that way.
Should. Why are you moving?
No, it's getting uncomfortable.
Things get hot, move off, huh? Yes?
I'm not as young as either of us once was.
I'm as young as the day I married you, though I am certain I don't look it. Because you are a very good husband, most of the time.
That was Glenn Close and John Lithgow in A Delicate Balance. You two first worked together back in 1982 in the movie adaptation of The World According to Garp. What's it like now, as grown-ups, being scene partners again?
Well, we've been in this business. We've been acting now for 40 years plus, and we've learned a lot. So we have a lot of craft to fall back on, thank God. So in many ways, it was like kind of skating on smooth ice.
Edward Albee grew up in a rich Westchester, New York family, his adoptive family, and he's often talked about how he felt like he didn't really belong in that world. You were born into such a world, Greenwich, Connecticut, country club, prep school, all that. Did you feel like, hey, this is my tribe? I do belong here.
I don't think I've ever felt that I belonged to that world, even though I was born into it, because my parents were really black sheep in that world. In kind of a cool way, I
kind of heroic
say.
Weirdos, it sounds like.
Yeah, they were. They wanted to do things for people and get out of that. They quit the country clubs that their parents had founded.
Literally founded.
Yes, yeah. And we had this wonderful piece of land, my grandfather's farm that we grew up on, and we could have been in Iowa. I mean, we never went to the country club.
I also hadn't known that you were part of Up With People, which came to my either junior high or high school in Omaha, Nebraska when I was a little kid. And, of course, we thought, it being the period, like, who are these creepy
weirdos.
People?
Creepy people, exactly.
Was that fun, strange?
Well, it's a long story for me.
Yes.
Because Up With People was an offshoot of something called Moral Rearmament.
Which I also didn't know until now.
Yeah, so my parents got kind of seduced by them in the mid-50s. And from 7 to 22, I was in their control. And
in a cult-like way.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. But did doing Up With People, was that your gateway drug to show business and acting?
Well, I always wanted to be an actor. It had nothing to do with... I loved the early Disney films. I loved all that. I had this big imagination, probably for reasons which could be analyzed. But I wanted to go to college. I wanted to go to acting school. And I ended up being shunted, if you will, into Up With People. I wrote songs for them. And I was, you know, you're a good little soldier until you realize what you're soldiering for.
And then and you had the good fortune to be in your early 20s in the late 60s and said, enough of this?
Enough of this, exactly. Oh. So I left with no thank yous or anything and went to the College of William & Mary, where I was a freshman when I was 22 years old.
So you were an old freshman.
I was an old freshman.
you started college late, therefore got out of college late. I guess everything was a little late. You made your first movie at 35.
Yes, well, I came to New York after graduation, and then George Roy Hill saw me in Barnum and put me in The World According to Garp.
What about the doing of it? They, it seems to me they would be very – they would be different skills.
Oh, gosh. I remember it so well. I remember going up to George Roy Hill and saying, I hope you will take care of me because I've heard that a lot of stage actors can't make this transition into film. And he looked down at me and he said, you're right.
Nice.
In my first, I thought that my first movie would be either the back of my head onto somebody else,
yeah,
or hearing my voice and seeing somebody else's face. The hardest adjustment for me was the energy, because on stage you kind of set up this energy force that will project whatever you're doing to the back seats. And my second film was The Big Chill, and I started learning then the power of thought on film, the power of the close-up, and that you can actually see into somebody's soul, actually, when you're doing a film.
I've read that you say you're a terrible auditioner. What does that mean?
Oh,
I can imagine how I would be a terrible auditioner, but what does it really mean in the case of an actual actress?
I just was really not terribly good at it. I didn't
in a technical way, or you like freeze at the
well,
prospect?
If I could keep myself on an emotional edge and kind of keep that together and then walk into the room, I usually hit it out of the ballpark. But if for one reason or another it started kind of dripping away, it was kind of agonizing. I auditioned for Albert Nobbs all those years ago.
Which, something else I didn't know is this movie, wonderful movie you made a few years ago, was a play 30 years ago.
It was a play based on the original story. And I loved it. It was going in for 5 minutes and playing a woman being a man in Victorian Dublin. And I really was bad. And I stopped the audition and I said, I'm boring myself, so I must be boring you. I'm just going to go home. And then I got a call saying, that was the most interesting thing that happened to us all day. Will you come back? I then called my friend Kevin Klein and said, who is that coach that you go to? Because I'm so tired of you know, not being in control.
So did the coach coach you on how to do auditions?
Yes. He really helped me.
It's interesting how, because you've had so many big, memorable roles at different stages of your career, I think there is a certain generation of people, like my children, who simply think of you as Cruella de Vil. I want to play a clip in which she is talking to a young fashion designer played by Jolie Richardson.
Your work is fresh and clean, unfettered, unpretentious. It sells. And one of these days, my competitors are going to suss out who you are, and they're going to try to steal you away.
Oh, no, if I left, it wouldn't be for another job.
Oh, really? What would it be for?
Well, I don't know, if I met someone, if working here didn't fit in with our plans.
Marriage?
Perhaps.
More good women have been lost to marriage than to war, famine, disease, and disaster. You have talent, darling. Don't squander it.
Well, I don't think that it's something we have to worry about. I don't have any prospects.
Thank God.
That is Glenn Close in 101 Dalmatians. You're like half an octave higher than anything like your real voice, it seems.
My voice is particularly low today because I'm fighting.
Well, maybe that's it. So in that scene, it's interesting to me, when she's not killing puppies, Cruella is a pretty reasonable person.
Yes.
Much of the rest of that role is very cartoonally evil. Is that easier to do than Agnes in A Delicate Balance?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's easier to do, especially if you have wonderful dialogue.
Yeah.
Actually, I think Cruella was a very elegantly written part because she was so witty. and kind of evilly witty. The meaner she was, the funnier she, you know, the funnier people thought she was.
And for 5 years recently on TV, on the terrific drama Damages, you played a character named Patty Hughes, who is incredibly cold and calculating and complicated. Does she, for instance, feel very different than Cruella as a character?
Oh, yeah, because Cruella was the devil. So Cruella was just pure evil. Patty, you find at the brilliant writing at the very end, you find why she is the way she is, you know, and she's a damaged person herself from the very beginning. And you,
but all terrible people say that. Oh, he had such a terrible childhood or something.
Well, I think it's kind of true.
Yeah.
But Patty, I mean, it's interesting because there's another phenomenon that I have come across that if you play a strong woman, a lot of people say that you're evil or you're a bitch. If Patty had been played by a guy, it would have been, I think, quite different.
Yes.
And I remember when I first met the wonderful three writers, their inspiration was David Boies and a book that he had written. And
The famous lawyer.
The famous lawyer. And I said, you realize how different it will make it, you know, when you put a woman in a position of power and people get very uncomfortable.
Glenn Close, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
A Delicate Balance, starring Glenn Close and John Lithgow, is on Broadway right now.